It was in the month of May, 3 years ago, by a hospital bed in Columbus, Ohio, where my father was recovering from what was supposed to have been a quintuple bypass operation, but became, on the surgeons actually seeing the heart, a sextuple. His face, my father's face, was pale. He was thinner than I had seen him in years. A stuffed bear that the nurses had loaned him lay crooked in his lap. They told him to hug it whenever he stood or sat down, to keep the stitches in his chest from tearing. I complimented him on the bear when I walked in, and he gave me one of his looks, dropping his jaw and crossing his eyes as he rolled them back in their sockets. It was a look he assumed in all kinds of situations, but that always meant the same thing. Can you believe this? Riverside Methodist Hospital, the river being the Olentangy. My family had a tidy little history there, or at least my father and I had one. It was to Riverside that I had been rushed from a Little League football game when I was 12, both of my lower right leg bones broken at the shin, in such a way that when the whistle was blown and I sat up on the field after my first time carrying the ball all season, I looked down to find my toes pointing a perfect 180 degrees from the direction they should have been pointing in, at which sight I went into mild shock on the grass at the 50-yard line and lay back to admire the clouds. Only the referee's face obstructed my view. He kept saying, "Watch your language, son," which seemed comical since, as far as I knew, I had not said a word. I seem to remember, or may have deduced, that my father walked in slowly from the sidelines then, with the exceptionally calm demeanor he showed during emergencies, and put his hand on my arm, and said something encouraging, doubtless a little shocked himself at the disposition of my foot. A little regretful, too, it could be, since he, a professional sports writer who had been a superb all-around athlete into his 20s, and a Little League coach at various times, must have known that I should never have been on the field at all. Running back was the only viable position for me, in fact, given that when the coach had tried me at other places on the line, I had tended nonetheless to move away from the other players. My lone resource was my speed. I still had a prepubescent track runner's build and was the fastest player on the team. The coach had noticed that I tended to win the sprints and thought he saw an opportunity. But what both of us failed to understand was that a running back must not only outrun the guards, typically an option on only the most flawlessly executed plays, but often force his way past them, knock them aside. Such was never going to happen. In fairness, the coach had many other things to worry about. Our team, which had no name, lacked both talent and what he called go. In the car headed home from our first two games, I could tell by the way my father avoided all mention of what had taken place on the field that we were pathetic. Not Bad News Bears pathetic, for we never cut up or wanted it or gave our all. At practice, a lot of the other players displayed an indifference to the coach's advice that suggested they might have been there on community service. The coach's son, Kyle, was our starting quarterback. When practice was not going Kyle's way, that is, when he was either not on the field, having been taken off in favor of the second stringer, who was excellent, or when he was on the field and throwing poorly, Kyle would begin to cry. He cried not childish tears, which might have made me wonder about his life at home with the coach and even feel for him a little, but bitter tears. Too bitter by far for a 12-year-old. Kyle would then do a singular thing. He would fling down his helmet and run about 40 yards to the coach's car, a beige Cadillac Eldorado, which was always parked in the adjacent soccer field. He would get into the car, start the engine, roll down all four windows, and, still crying, I presumed, maybe even sobbing now, in the privacy of his father's automobile, play Aerosmith tapes at volumes beyond what the Eldorado's system was designed to sustain.